Brandon Jack, got a good story to tell here, I reckon, Tim. This is a young man that dedicated his life to footy. He had a brother. He had a famous father from a rugby league point of view. Then he had a brother that was doing amazing things. He makes it to the Sydney Swans. He plays 28 games and makes all the sacrifices there. And then it spits you out at the other end. It's not the sort of biography, I don't think, his book 28, A Memoir of Footy Addiction, Art, Masculinity and Love, that most footballers write once their careers are over. And we're interested to talk to Brandon about it, and he's been good enough to join us. Good morning.
Thanks for having me on.
What was the inspiration for the book? I mean, 28 games, I mean, you're a journalist. I've read some of your stuff. It's absolutely magnificent, enlightening. But when did you get the thought that maybe you could put this down on paper?
You know, I didn't set out to write a book about football, and that's so much part of the story. I denied my footballing past because I was, you know, I was embarrassed at the failure that I thought I'd had. And then I kind of, after a few years, reflected on the journey and saw that, you know, what I had experienced was something that a lot of players go through in any professional environment, and is something that, you know, the public and sports fans probably aren't aware of, those sorts of stories, and that there is a merit to them and something that, you know, people might be interested in.
Why did you view your career, Brandon, good morning to you, by the way. Why did you view your career back then the way that you did?
I've been getting responses on Twitter from people saying, you know, any game at the elite level is a success. But, you know, that's not how we're geared. You don't go into a professional environment saying, I want to play 20 games. You want to play 250 games. You want to win a Brownlow. You want to win a premiership. And you have to really motivate yourself to want to do those things. And the unfortunate reality for a lot of people is when it doesn't work out with that success, you view yourself as a failure. And then when you are trying to find a meaning in your career at the end, it's really hard to do.
Was it worth it? Did you think at the end of your career, when you came out of football, did you think, okay, that's been a waste of a few years, or do you now view it completely differently?
Time, you know, I'm 4 years out, but at the time I was, you know, really disgruntled and thought I'd wasted 5 years or even more of my life with that. And it did take until the kind of last year for me to really sit down and think about things. And the book's me ultimately searching for the answer to the question, do I love football?
So, Brandon, can you sit back now, though, and I mean, it is possible to sit back and reflect on a career and say, hey, I dedicated myself, I did the work, I sacrificed, I got as fit as I could, I put it all out there, and if 28 games is 28 games, then that's it, no regrets. Are you able to look at it through that lens?
But as well as that, I'm also, you know, you reflect on the relationships you form. I was so lucky to have people like Reece Shaw around me at the club, and that relationship and friendship is something that I wouldn't have had if I didn't play footy. And there's a real deeper meaning about why I play football that is uncovered in the book, and I think it goes back to the more purer forms of sport that we attach ourselves to growing up.
And at some stage you're saying that, yeah, in the book that you were bitter towards John Longmire. Have you still got those feelings, and why did you feel that way?
You know, I included my diary entries, and there's a lot in there about, you know, I'm angry at Horse for not picking me in the team. And at the time, you know, you kind of feel like you're working against your coach and the team you want to be in because they're not picking you. And I like a few other guys, was quite bitter towards Horse, but, you know, with a bit of hindsight, you realise that it's a really tough role, and you're convincing 40-odd guys that they all belong in a 20-odd man team. And I was lucky. I got a text from Horse last night. He's working his way through the book. I really wanted to send him a copy as a show of gratitude for all the care and work he did with me as a player. So to get that message from him last night was really special.
The players, you know, you could categorise AFL players as being institutionalised by the game and living in a bubble. And you're a really thoughtful young man. You've written this book, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to go out and read this book. On reflection, is there a much better way to conduct the daily activities and the programs of AFL football, do you think?
It's an AFL thing, but, you know, it's elite sport in general, and it's the mindset we gear ourselves to be great. You know, we become so single-minded and we shut off a lot of other things in the world because you want to focus all your time and energy onto this game. And there is a merit to that, but there's a balance to be found. And I definitely didn't have that balance when I was playing. Became all-consumed with who I was as a person was who I am as a footballer. And it's an easy trap to fall into, and I hope that, you know, these pages in this book can help enlighten people in a certain way.
A lot of people look at the Sydney Swans and they look at their success, their sustained success over a long period of time, and we talk about the Bloods culture and their spirit and that type of thing. Are you able to summarise what it is about the Sydney Swans program, the team, the players, the culture? What is it that makes them what they are?
The team now is completely different to when I was there. I'm sure they've even changed their culture that they use. But, you know, when I was there, we had trademarks that we would all know about, and we would all have kind of personal mantras as well. And there was a lot of accountability and just strong leaders at the top as well. You know, I had guys like Jared McVay, Adam Goods. Kieran was the captain there for a few years. And you come in and you just trust the blueprint in a way. And I think it made me a better player than I probably would have been without it. But it's a different club now, I think.
What are those trademarks? So I guess that's what I'm trying to get to the heart of here. What is the culture? What is the spirit of the Bloods?
I mean, when I was there, and I'm pretty certain they've changed these, but when I was there, it was all about, you know, being hard, disciplined and united. And it was real simple, and we had kind of behaviours for each of those words, and every player would stick that in the back of their locker, and you'd see it all around the club, and I had it above my bed at home as well. So it's everyone being on the same page, and it's simple behaviours, you know. It doesn't take any talent to do any of those things. It's all about just willingness to buy in and to work hard.
Brandon Jack has joined us here. He's written a book, 28, A Memoir of Football. What can you tell two old blokes about masculinity?
Well, I'm still learning about it myself, you know, and it's something that I think we've all been affected by in a way. And on my own journey, I was a pretty soft and gentle kid growing up. But, you know, as people read the book, I think they'll see me really trying to become something I'm not, me trying to be this really hard-nosed, tough bastard, because that's what I thought footy players were. And, you know, maybe part of me is that, but also it's quite clear there's a struggle there to be something I'm not.
Did growing up with your dad, Gary Jack, obviously being a great NRL player and, you know, rugby league and the masculinity around rugby league, did that influence you a lot when you were a kid growing up?
I talk about internal and external pressure a lot in the book. And at the end of the day, you know, I had my dad's jerseys on the wall at home and people would stop us in the street and tell me, you know, your dad's a tough bastard. Like, I got that my whole life growing up. But as I grew up, it was the kind of internal pressure I was putting on myself to be like that and to be a footy player, a professional player. So at some point, it kind of became really hard to distinguish between what people expected of me and what I expected of myself.
Brendan, I'm just interested also, obviously, you know, your dad being, you know, the superstar rugby league player that he was, you and both Kieran, obviously Kieran before you moved away from rugby, decided to play AFL football. Was that sort of a conscious decision around not being then ultimately compared to your dad, did you think?
I think for Kieran, I think he was just a really good AFL or Aussie rules player when he first started playing and wasn't getting the success he wanted in rugby league. So that was easy for him. My decision was pretty similar. I mean, Kieran's success made it a lot easier for me. And, you know, it was never... I don't think Dad really cared what code we played. He might have joked about it in the media, but I don't think he cared what footy code we were playing. And there's a funny story about when I told him I wanted to play Aussie rules, we went out the front and had a golf chipping competition. And if I won, he'd let me play. And if he didn't, then I'd play league. But either way, I think he was going to let me play what I wanted to play.
Yeah, Brandon... In the end, did you feel able to be your authentic self as an AFL footballer at the Sydney Swans?
That's a really good question. At points, I deliberately tried to, you know, become something I wasn't. And it's hard to say whose responsibility that is. And I think it's definitely a lot of mine. By the end of my career, I think I was closer to knowing who I was and what I wanted to be and pursuing music and art and writing and all these sorts of things. So I think I definitely lost a bit of myself in that environment for a while. But, you know, coming out, I've been able to find the things that really do interest me.
What's the most positive thing now for you as somebody that experienced AFL football, but now moving on with your life and you've graduated from university with a degree in sociology? You're a creative writer, you're a singer, musician. What's the great thing about life for you now?
Look, still having a love for football is a really great thing. Keeping on to some of those relationships as well I formed. Like some of the players at the Swans are still my best mates. But as well, there's a lesson to be learned from kind of how one operates in a footy club and the discipline required, and those are things I still carry with me today. And the ultimate lesson of, you know, sometimes no matter how hard you work, it just doesn't work out, and that's okay, and you don't have to kind of determine who you are as a person based on that success or failure.
Are you, Brandon, we love talking to you. We get messages as they come through and people are enjoying it, but there is always going to be an alternative view of, you know, harden up, you know, you got issues with your dad, all that sort of stuff. What do you say to those people who don't appear to be as enlightened or perhaps haven't been able to open their own mind to some of the different issues that you've discussed today and in your book?
Totally get that. That's what I've been for most of my life as well. I'd say, like, read the book, because I don't think people who've read my writing or hear me speak, the book is not, it's a different form of writing to that. And I tell the stories, not with judgment, but, you know, I talk about binge drinking myself into oblivion on weekends. And those were just things that I did. And a lot of people might resonate with that. And if they don't, then that's fine. I can't convince anyone of something they don't want to be convinced of.
Hey, it's a really great chat. I've enjoyed the chat, and I'm going to read the book, and maybe Ian, who sent that message, he might want to read it as well. 28, A Memoir of Footy, Addiction, Art, Masculinity and Love. Thanks so much for joining us, mate. It's been great.
Thanks, Ian.
Brandon Jack, here from Keys, are struggling with back pain. Now's the time for Keys, and now open in Mornington and Ocean Grove. That is not your stereotypical autobiography, Tim.
No.
I grew up here, I played there, I kicked this many goals, we won this, had a great footy trip, bang, out. I think you're going to get a bit more than that.
Well, he's a very thoughtful young man, and he's looked at his footy career, he's reflected on that, he's taken out bits and pieces, obviously kept a diary on the way through. It would have been a great thing to have kept a diary when we played footy, wouldn't it? In fact, if I could encourage a young player stepping into the game to do one thing, I'd say keep a diary. It doesn't necessarily be a diary that you have to make an entry in every day, but you do forget so many things over time about your career. Whether you're going to write a book or not doesn't really matter, but just to be able to reflect on what you might have been thinking of as an 18-year-old and how your views change on things as you, you know, venture through life, I think it's a fascinating thing to be able to do and reflect on.
It's a very... You want the deep question now, or do you want it after we do sports?
You can do the deep question now.
Were you able to be your authentic self at the Essendon Football Club where you spent the most formative years of your life?
Yeah, I think I was. I really do. I really thought that's what I was. And, you know, no one's perfect, and, you know, you have to understand who you are and what you are. And I think... You know, I came in when I was a 15-year-old, though. So
that's
you change
saying.
A lot through that period
you
of time.
You were in such an influential time of your life where, luckily, you got a great family and set up where you had good role models. But when you're immersed into that life at such an early time, the ability for you to see the behaviours around you as, you know, that's the norm, and then be strong enough to go, well, okay, on some occasions, no, it's not.
Yeah, I think there's a blurring of the line there, though, because you are immersed in an environment, and a very much a masculine environment, and, you know, blokey environment, that type of thing, which I love, by the way. But then to be able to make the comparison between that and the other world out there, which is the big wide world where that type of behaviour doesn't necessarily exist. I mean, they're the things that you have to be able to come to terms with post your football career. What about you? Were you yourself when you played?
Well, I'll answer it after the break because we've got to get to a break. I'm just looking at all these, and it gives you cause. I took the interview with Brandon as a cause to start thinking about, you know, myself and other things. Then you get this. Worst interview ever. Boring. So the capacity to be able to absorb and think about something that is different, you know?
Yeah. Well, you and I both like to explore those things, even if we're challenged by what people have to say. And you can have challenging conversations, but I think that's how we all learn. That's how we can reshape our views and opinions on things.